services committee, but I'll have to correct myself, sustainability and environment, and you're all very welcome. Thanks for turning up in the chamber, and to those at home, you're very welcome also. Again, as I say, just the usual red tape that I have to read at the start of the meeting is, I welcome everybody to the meeting, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are switched off or turned to mute, and the use of mobile services or devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial items or interests, as you say, or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee this evening. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, the members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call, if online, for the duration of the discussion on that item, and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting, and once the discussion on that item has ended, the proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they're personally responsible in the chamber, or anywhere for that matter, within a council business for any comments that they may make during these proceedings. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, I'd appreciate very much, either in the chamber or online, to use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and it will bring members. I see Cadogan's said my voice has disappeared. Hopefully you can hear me now, Cadogan. I will remind members to keep their instant messages to the following items. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for comment. Type P if you want to propose. Type S if you want a second. And please refrain from any other comments using instant messaging. That's there on, Cadogan. That's okay. If you'd like to leave the meeting early, please let us know through the chat facility so we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So that's the introductory remarks. I was very saddened and sorry to hear of the sudden passing of Councillor Damien O'Reilly from Meath County Council, who died at the weekend. He was a young man, and we'd like to offer sincere sympathy and heartfelt condolences to Damien's family and friends and colleagues. Just very sad at such a young age, somebody passing. And so our thoughts and prayers are with everyone that knew Damien at this time. So are there any apologies that have been submitted or members in the chamber are online aware of? Ian Mallon, apologies. Thank you very much. And we'll now move on to agenda item number two. Is a declaration of interest. If any members any declarations of interest, if they declare. Go ahead, Henry. Yeah, so again, your point is noted, and I would like to associate myself with your comments, Henry. Thank you very much. And so we move on to the action sheets of our last meeting that was held on the 22nd of August. Page 1, page 2. Are members happy enough with the action sheets? Question from, let's see, we've got a proposal from Councillor McGuinness and Councillor Tinley has a wee question. Or JT, sorry. Go ahead there, the question. Jill, sorry, I just had to look at the letters because I was thinking of Jarlath Tilney and yourself. Go ahead, Jill.
Hopefully we look slightly different.
No
can
problem,
you hear me
Jill.
Okay?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'd like to speak to item 3, to approve option 5 on the central promenade toilets. The toilets is part of the toilet strategy. I had asked about the Newcastle Centre and the toilets at Central Promenade, if those toilets had been taken into the business case for the Newcastle Centre. Could I now have assurances that they have been considered, and regardless of the options or the future of Newcastle Centre, that the new toilets will not have to come down again to facilitate any building work? And could I also ask if the new public toilets, once they're all in place, the closing times will be standardised across the district, as some are still in the old legacy council times? Thanks
very much, Jill. Councillor Truesdale, I'll hand over to the officer to reply for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Upon your request last week, Councillor Truesdale, yes, I did speak with the AD of Leisure. The toilets aren't included within their business plan. So I will continue to liaise with him in relation to that that aspect. Now, in relation to the toilets being taken away, our thought process on it, and obviously this is only the comment, we're only starting the process now, but those are modular units, those toilets, so they will most likely be taken away and new ones actually, like, physically sat down in their place. What was your, sorry, if you don't mind me asking, the other thing?
Sorry, could I just come back on that last one?
Yeah.
The new toilets will also be modular as well?
We don't know. Well, no, we don't know yet. Obviously, as I said, those ones at the minute are modular, so
yeah,
they will have to be physically removed.
Yeah. No, that's I understand that. Just any new ones?
In the new ones, no, we haven't. Obviously, we still have to. We're still at the early stages. The specification hasn't even been written yet, so it depends on the specification and obviously the contract that will be awarded following that. So,
yeah,
as I said, no, that just, there's no decision has been made yet on the actual structure and the type of structure itself.
Yeah, because it would be really important to put it within the business case for whatever's going to happen to Newcastle Centre, that we're not seeing the removal of the toilet block in 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah, well, that is something we will, as I said, I will continue to liaise with the relevant AD in Leisure in relation to that.
Okay, the second question was, once the new toilets are all in place, be standardised? Yeah.
Yes, I actually have already, last week, I actually have been liaising with our AD of Environment in relation to the opening times, because it's something that has been brought to our attention actually last week in relation to that. And it is something that is on our public convenience strategy document. So it's something I think that we do need to look at sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
That's super. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Truesdale, Jill, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If members are happy enough, I know, as I say, they will now move on to
Chairman.
Sorry, go ahead, Henry. Sorry,
yeah,
if you put a comment, if you just.
Yeah, Chairman, could I just point out that on the opening times, I have been working on that with the council management here,
yeah,
and they've been very, very helpful, and I'm confident that those issues will be organised. I just wanted to ask, I had asked about monitoring of vegetables, you know, for pesticide residues.
So what would do, Henry, do you want to take that, if you want to answer that?
I didn't have it on the action plan.
No problem.
We're going to get a report back on it.
Okay.
Yes, that will be taken. I'm proposing to do a presentation at an upcoming committee meeting to cover the food sampling, which will incorporate the pesticide sampling. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And Councillor Willie Clark, go ahead, Willie.
Chair, just the similar item in regards to the toilets. Just in regards to Downs Park, Newcastle, the toilet's been out of action for a long period of time. It's a popular area. You know, a lot of people use it for recreation, but there's a playground beside as well, so a lot of children would need toilet facilities. Just an update where we're at on.
Okay, well, thanks, Willie.
Chair, I would have normally deflected to Aidan on that one, but I'll give an update and go directly back to the councillor on that one. Thank you.
That's good. Thanks very much. And if members are happy enough with the business sheets, we'll move on now to the next agenda item, is a report on the notice of motion in relation to the establishment of the Disabled Users Forum and other matters. So I'll hand over to Andrew for that, to give a report, and then members be welcome to comment.
Well, Chair, really, this is just a cover report. Clearly, this is a motion that was deferred from Council from the 4th of September. I'm really quite happy to leave it to the members to go through that motion process themselves.
No problem, Andrew. Thanks. And Councillor Truesdale, as he's in with a comment. Jill, go ahead there. Or, sorry, your motion. Sorry, do you want to? I just seen that they say in the comment in the box, Willie. So,
no, just thanks very much, Gary. Yeah. I read the motion in full Council, so don't have to do that again. Councillor Kern's going to second the motion. Thanks, Chair. The purpose of this motion is to make change for people with disabilities in our communities and across the district. It's about making all facilities, local attractions and events throughout the district accessible for all. Our thinking behind establishing this forum is to allow us to reach out to those who face accessibility issues and hear firsthand how they experience council facilities and local attractions and how we can work to improve our district for all. In Sinn Féin, we have a vision, which I believe is shared across the chamber, that all citizens should be able to participate fully in life without being left behind. However, for too long, individuals with disabilities have faced unnecessary obstacles that prevent them from fully participating in and enjoying what our district has to offer. We're determined to change this reality by working towards creating a more accessible and inclusive environment. The Council must prioritise addressing the inequalities and breakdown barriers that many people with disabilities face. That means more changing places, facilities, improving our local transport service, ensuring infrastructure is fit for purpose, and looking at innovative new ways to make our towns and villages more inclusive. Of course, this work isn't the responsibility for Council alone. I've had Assembly up and run. We'd certainly work in tandem with them. We look forward to working with the Council, local groups, our tourism sector and the wider community in this transformative journey towards a more accessible and inclusive district for all. I'll leave it at that, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Clark, Willie. And if we have Geraldine, Councillor Kearns is going to second and also has a comment to make as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy to second this motion and I commend Councillor Clark for highlighting the importance of fully accessible tourist attractions for all throughout the district, regardless of ability. It's crucial that council officials set up a disabled users forum in which residents and community groups can express their views on how this issue can be improved regarding accessibility to council-owned facilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Kearns, for seconding. And in the comments box, we have Councillor Jill Truesdale. Jill?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to propose an amendment to the wording of the title and throughout to Accessibility and Inclusion Forum, because the motion as it stands states fully accessible to all. Now, I absolutely agree with the sentiment of the motion, but I do not want this to be a tokenistic populist gesture motion. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to explain that with a scenario. So I have two friends who are wheelchair users, one manual, one electric. The manual wheelchair user lamented how the Eats and Beats Festival was out of reach because the grass was too much for her mum to push the chair over. The electric wheelchair user was concerned about the chair battery life over grass. So I contacted council officers and asked if there was a possibility of MobiMat to be laid down for accessibility. There wasn't. So we had a case of an accessible loo at the festival outside the venue, but access to the actual venue was impaired. So in feedback conversations with them since, they said there was no fast-track queue for accessibility, no picnic tables for wheelchairs, and the accessaloo wasn't with the other portaloos. And finally, the height of the hydraulic lift to access the loo was embarrassing because it was so high. So in Councillor Clark's motion, I'm really glad to hear the words local organisations and local residents in the motion. But the reason for proposing an amendment: in April, I contacted Mid-Ulster Council to find out some information on the Mid-Ulster Disability Forum that feeds into council. After the election, I contacted our council and spoke with an officer in mid-August who said, should the council consider a more formal structure, such as a panel, a term of reference would have to be developed, setting out its scope and purpose. and appropriate governance arrangements. So there is a lot of logistics in setting up this type of a group. So then Councillor Clark's motion came through, and the title and wording seemed to only apply to disabled people with accessibility issues, whereas many people with a disability do not have accessibility issues that require a wheelchair, any form of aid, or accessories, or changing places. And in addition, many people with a disability do not like the label disabled because they want signposts not labelled. So my question on the motion, as it currently stands, is the Disabled Users Forum only for people with mobility accessibility issues? And is that in itself not discriminatory to people who, in law, have recognised disabilities but no mobility issues, such as neurodiversity? And if not, then I would like the motion amended to reflect inclusivity for all.
So the actual text of your amendment is inclusivity for all, then, Councillor Truesdale?
No, the amended text would be the title, which would change to Accessibility and Inclusion Forum. And then that would change throughout the first four lines of the motion.
Yes, so Councillor Clark, are you happy to accept Councillor Truesdale's amendment?
On the point, and we mentioned changing places. Changing places is not just for people with disabilities. There's all forms of obstacles to people. You know, it could be people with vision issues. It's still a disability. Mm-hmm. You know, in relation to people with autism, you know, particularly teenagers, you know, with autism, the changing places are essential, you know, to allow people to be go to the toilet and be changed with dignity.
Sorry, not all.
No, are you chairing the meeting or what?
Councillor Truesdale, if you hold on to.
No, sorry, apologies.
Could Councillor Clark explain?
Councillor Truesdale seems all over the place. We talk about the eats and beats. I was aware that there was one individual who had difficulty accessing Donner Park. This is a completely appropriate site that was. Madden should have been introduced. I agree with that point. But I've seen numerous wheelchairs at the Eats and Beats Festival. I've seen about 4 to 5 wheelchairs at the event. And that was on the Saturday. So I'm not sure. I didn't go on the Sunday. But it's trying to amend the motion for the sake of amending the motion. And that's not what this is about. This forum will be open to everybody and every organisation moving forward. As the director's report clearly illustrates, you know, it'll not be excluding anybody. We'll be talking to all the various groups. We'll be talking to officers across the different directorates. And the vision of the motion is that we do have mobile change of place facilities, you know, being provided. We look for grant aid to get that. And then long term, you'll be looking that other organisations will be able to hire them facilities. But we need to set up the forum to have them discussions with people. And then, you know, and to talk about tokenism, it's certainly not tokenism, because I've been dealing with this issue for well over 10 years. So it's not tokenism. Maybe it's tokenism on the other side.
Thanks very
much. So we'll be accepting.
You won't be accepting the amendment. I know some of the points, Councillor Truesdale, that you have raised can be highlighted with officers, and also once the forum's up and running, and I'm sure you will be there contributing to the forum to move forward to make sure that everybody, I'm just stuck for words on this, but I'm very passionate about disability and other issues. That disability is both hidden and public, you know, and again, I'm supportive of everything. So, since Councillor Clark hasn't accepted the amendment, therefore, do we proceed to vote for the? Have we got a seconder for your amendment?
I'm happy as a second, Chair.
And this seconder, who could you do? Sorry.
I'll put it in the chat. Sorry, Chair.
Thanks, no.
Sorry, Chair. Can we have a bit of clarity?
Yes, go ahead, Councillor Sargent.
Chair, if I could just ask Councillor Clark, are you, what you're saying, Councillor Clark, is you're confident that the wording of your motion
covers all elements that Mr. Freesdale has outlined in relation to the terminology. But so, Councillor Truesdale, can you define very clearly as to where in the motion you feel that Councillor Clark's terminology does not meet your needs as you feel for inclusivity? I certainly, when I read the motion, felt that it was being inclusive and had a tendency to agree with Councillor Clark's interpretation. This has gone back at the time when it was first put to council. So we would be content on the basis that Councillor Clark's ethos behind the whole motion is that it is inclusive. I read it as that, but maybe you could clarify as to where are we missing something, because I didn't exactly pick that up in your opening comments.
Just go ahead, Councillor Clark, and reply.
Sure. In the motion it says accessible for all.
Okay. Head on. Now, I just said at the moment, I would like to explain to members how important it is to use the chat box, because I'm hearing voices, and then, as I say, then there's breakages in communications, and then people, I'm genuinely, you know, it would make my job a lot easier and make it easier for yourselves. You know, whenever I see an order, who's commenting and who's talking. So go ahead, Councillor Savage. Dead on, thank you. So the next in the chat, if you hold on a wee second, yes, also, would it be possible, Jill, could you put the wording of your amendment into the chat for everybody to have a look at, please? Thank you.
Of course. Could I answer Councillor Savage's question, though? I think he addressed the question directly to me.
Well, that's fair enough, but then there's other councillors as well, and then they can't speak, but I'll let you go back to Councillor Savage.
Councillor Savage, the first part of your question, I couldn't hear properly, it cut out. I too agree with the motion. It's the wording that I would prefer to see changed, because the focus is too much on changing places. So as I said, the question I'm asking is the Disabled Users Forum only for people with mobility accessibility issues? And is that not in itself discriminatory to people who in law have recognised disability but no mobility issues, such as neurodiversity, who don't necessarily need a changing places? So I'm requesting that the wording of the motion just changes to Accessibility and Inclusion Forum. But I'll put it in the chat box.
Thank you. Okay, and then move on here to the chat. I see Councillor Taylor.
Yep. Thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, I'm very happy to support the motion, and I have to say I felt, you know, the content of what was there, you know, from Councillor Clark would cover all areas. And I think, and I speak from experience on this, you know, I brought a motion actually on the latter part of the last term, which dealt with issues similar to that, and actually raised some of the concerns that Councillor Truesdale had raised there about, you know, just not all forms of disability are as obvious as others. And the motion that I brought forward was about making all our services and, you know, provisions within the council district fully accessible, and that outlined that. Now, as I say, some of the concerns I have at times about, you know, whenever we bring these issues forward is actually seeing the practical outworkings of what is suggested within our motions. And I probably think that's where there is maybe on occasions failures in all our parts to maybe see that in you know, action and in implementation. And the number of suggestions that are included within the report are, you know, are very welcome, obviously, in the Disability Users Forum. I think even some of the issues that Councillor Truesdale had raised, that's the type of forum where they can be raised, so we get a full outline of the types of issues that are prevalent and would prevent somebody from accessing, you know, a facility within our district. So I think the motion as it stands does try and address that. I don't, you know, think we need to be too concerned about that. But what it would say is as well that we, you know, and again, that's what I mean about the practical outworkings of anything, that if we do establish a forum as what's proposed here, we need to see we need to see positive, you know, outcomes from that. It can't be a situation where it's just a discussion panel, we see no action taken, because that really frustrates everybody. I'm always concerned about even working groups not actually fulfilling their roles, because they become talking shops. People become then tired and probably exhausted with going around in circles, so to speak, and then they really just fade away because the attendance has become poor if they don't see any output or any, you know, positive action taken from that. So I'm happy to support it as it stands. I say I think we're going to address all these issues, given the fact that obviously Councillor Clark's motion, you know, outlines quite a bit of that, and the fact that previous motions, including my own, have addressed some of the issues that Councillor Truesdale has outlined there. And they're still actually supposed to be action, despite the fact it was a previous term. Mm-hmm. Just because a new term starts doesn't mean that what was proposed in the previous term has to stop. So we can, you know, encompass all that as part of this this forum that would be established. So happy to support as it stands.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor and Councillor Derry Finn. Derry?
I would just like to say that, again, I do see where Councillor Truesdale could be coming from, but I think in terms of looking at the report, I think it does fully cover all of the bases in terms of, particularly, you know, it isn't just about what would appear to be visual disabilities. And I think potentially if there could be a workaround that we say that the forum engages with campaign groups such as the Hidden Disabilities Group with the Sunflower Lanyards, and I think obviously that probably will be something that happens as part of the forum. But yeah, I'm happy to support it as it stands, because I think particularly from reading the report, it does cover all of the bases, and I think probably it'll be when you see the work that the group are undertaking and who the forum are engaging with is when you will see that it is inclusive and it is ensuring accessibility for everybody.
Yeah, no, thanks, Councillor Finn. Councillor Henry Riley. Henry.
Yeah, I read the motion. I thought it was adequate to cover the core issue. And I have to say that very, very disappointed with Jill here today. To use terminology like tokenism and populism on an issue like this, should be ashamed of herself. And she should actually withdraw those comments, Chairman, to reflect the seriousness of what we're discussing. And there's a lot of issues out there that I brought a motion to council a couple of years ago about shop mobility for Newcastle and Kilkeel. The money was allocated, but it never happened. And apparently it was because of we couldn't find somewhere to locate the vehicles or get into a contract with the shop mobility people. So there's a whole lot of things, and even access to our beaches, you know. And I actually brought up at the last full council meeting, whenever I was congratulating our staff on the Eats and Beats, that I had mentioned about the wheelchair users not being able to get into the area because of the muddy. But that was because of the amount of footfall. It had become a wee bit muddy. And I did point that out to staff, and they said that will be taken into consideration and it won't happen again. So we need to work together on these issues and not make a party political or whatever. I have very different political views to Willie Clark, but I totally support him on this motion, Chairman. Totally support.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Councillor Riley. And before we proceed to the vote, I would like to thank members for their contributions to this debate on the agenda this evening. And back whenever I served in Down District Council, Carmel O'Boyle, who was a former councillor for Newcastle, actually was a champion of disability. We actually had a disability awareness working group. Even though the title at the time, you know, emphasised on disabilities, we actually done a lot of sterling work. There was Councillor Clark's party and other parties at the time are represented. We covered a whole wide raft of issues on disability access, on suicide prevention, to name but a few. But as I say, I think it's a very, very, very important topic, and I do welcome everybody's train of thought and opinion. So thanks, Jill, for inputting the amendment into the chat box. You're proposing the amendment that's in the chat box. I think members in the chamber here have read that, and it's been seconded by Councillor Tierna Kelly. Are members happy to proceed with the vote? Do members present and online accept the amendment as tabled by the councillors in question, Councillors Truesdale and Councillor Kelly? So we'll proceed to a roll call. Sorry, go ahead, Anne. It's the original motion. Yes, it does. Yep. Yeah. No, we don't know as long as we go through the procedures on standing orders. So, I now move the amendment. Linda, thank you.
Hey, folks, just checking everybody can hear me at home. Okay. Okay. So for Councillor Truesdale's amendment to the motion, Councillor Andrews
against.
Councillor Clark
against.
Councillor Finn.
Against.
Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Kearns.
Against.
Councillor Kelly.
For.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
Against.
Councillor McAvoy.
Against.
Councillor Murphy.
Against.
Councillor Riley.
Against.
Councillor Rice.
Against.
Councillor Savage.
Against.
Councillor Taylor.
Against.
Councillor Truesdale.
For.
Okay, so that's 2-4, 13 against and no abstentions. So the amendment's lost.
Thank you, Linda. And as I say, the substantive motion is carried and with the recommendations outlined in section 3.1 of the paper that officers will proceed with directions to regarding the issues outlined in the motion should members agree. And also the points raised at tonight's meeting will also be taken on board as well. Thank you very much, members. We now move on to our next item is... Number 5 is the Newry Morning Down Active Travel Master Plan updates. So I'm going to hand over here to Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this purpose of this paper is to consider and give permission for Department for Infrastructure to carry out works to upgrade a council-owned pathway to a shared footway stroke cycleway on the old railway track route between Dundrum and Murlock. And secondly, to approve a mechanism for council approving or noting similar future projects linked to the council's active travel master plan. So the council's active travel master plan, a 10-year vision for active travel within the district, includes recommendations for actions to improve active travel infrastructure as well as other interventions. And one such project which is before you tonight is a shared footway cycleway between Dundrum and Murlock, which will form part of the overall route linking the existing cycle path from Clough to Mount Panther and continuing on into Newcastle. Part of this route includes a stretch of the old railway line, which is council-owned and runs from near Dundrum to the council playground and car park near Murlock. And DFI are seeking approval to develop this route on council land, upgrading the existing footway. The shared footway cycleway will then continue along the side of the road to the Smithery Ford Bridge, the 12 arches, as per the attached plans and maps. So, Chair, the recommendation and approval sought is to approve the proposed project to construct a shared footway cycleway route on the council-owned former old railway route between Murlock and Dundrum, and secondly, to approve the approach towards moving towards to provide two updates a year to council, or to committee, rather, on DFI and other active travel projects in the district. Happy to take any questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Andrew. And in the chat, we have a proposal and a comment from Councillor Clark. And I see Councillor Henry Riley has seconded. Sorry, the comment and the question, Michael?
Yes, sir. Chair, where's... We as an SDLP group welcome any such funding to our district, and in terms of the specific project, our preference for this cycleway would be on the opposite side of the road, on the shore side. This current project effectively creates a route between two car parks. The already in-situ cycle lane from Clough to Dundrum is shore side, but this proposed lane is on the inland side, so cyclists would have to cross the busy road to access it. We are also acutely aware of the pedestrian safety issues at Murlock there at the junction with the old road. A life was sadly lost there. So whilst we welcome the project in principle, our preference if we had a choice would have been to retain the cyclists on the shore side with the cycle lane running along the same side the whole way from Clough, negating the need to cross such a busy road which has a very sad and tragic collision history.
So while we're happy to proceed with the project, could we propose that we again write back to DFI for a crossing and ask for a crossing at this location? That's the junction of the Dundrum Road with the old road. I think that would be essential if we were to progress this scheme, Chair. I'm happy to support it on the basis that we write the DFI and ask for that crucial piece of safety infrastructure. Thanks, Chair.
Michael, thank you very much for submitting that, and I'm sure the officers will act on what you've proposed. Councillor Willie Carr, a proposal.
Seconder.
A seconder. I see Henry Riley has indicated second.
Michael's
office. Could I have a seconder? Derry Finn, Councillor Finn.
Second.
You second the whole thing, but they're just the action. Sorry, but it's just. Also, Councillor Trees, I know Councillor Clark wanted indicated a comment after his proposal, and then it'll be Councillor Trees too.
Thanks, Chair, and I agree with Councillor Savage's issue about a puffin crossing or a pedestrian crossing at that location. Is something that I've lobbied numerous years, and all parties have lobbied as well. It's an extremely fast stretch of road, and with lots of visitors, thousands of visitors per day, in peak time, but even off peak time, there's a huge amount of visitors on that road, and it is dangerous. It is dangerous crossing from the council car park to Murdoch. So something has to be done in regards to if we're going to increase the amount of cyclists and pedestrians coming that way. Safety measures have to be installed. It's up to DFI to come back with safety measures. One solution would be, to have railings around the footpath as the exit of the car park and the entrance of getting into Murdoch. So that would be cost effective, not as good as a pedestrian crossing. But if they come up with options, and meet with the DAA councillors, in that area, and see if we can get a solution to the issue. Because it's a fantastic news story. We're promoting healthy living. We're promoting tourism. But above all, we're taking cars off the road. And I think that's fundamental what this project is about. This is the direction of travel that this council wants to undertake as well. So we'll wholeheartedly, it's a considerable amount of investment in our area. It links up with the Clough cycling route and also in the Castle Valley.
And also in the Castle Valley. And also in the Castle Valley.
What was that?
Those are things.
No, and the Castle Island route as well, and I hope to see that extended into Newcastle as well, Chair, but happy to propose.
Yeah, well, thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Truesdale, Jill.
Thank you, Chair. Representations were made to council officers in May by my colleague, Councillor McMurray, about keeping the travelway on the seaward side, which I think Councillor Savage was saying. So this would prevent unnecessarily crossing the A2 twice, one at Keel Point and one at the 12 Arches. Now, as we all know, the 12 Arches is an incredibly dangerous, more built-up area than ever before. I've lost a family member there, and another family member was seriously injured at that junction a few years later. So I am very acutely aware of the dangers within it. So I think we're all in agreement that we need to rethink. Are we going to come down the seaward side, and what are we going to do to protect people who, if they continue on the landward side? But there's also concerns as to the anomaly that exists with the lane adjacent to the A2 carriageway. So it's repeatedly referred to for descriptive purposes as the hard shoulder, but it's not enforced as a hard shoulder if the cars parked on it are legally taxed and insured. So enforcement can only be carried out if a car's causing an obstruction or visibility displays, which most of them are not. So will parking also be discouraged within the design of the travelway? Would be a question I would like to ask, put to DFI within this.
No problem. Thanks very much, Jill, for that. And officers in response. Thanks.
Chair, more than content to pick those items up and include them in a letter to DFI.
Ken, on, thank you very much. And for no further comments, I would like to thank the proposer, Councillor Clark, and Seconder Henry Reilly, and also to Michael and Dara for their input into which is a very important subject. So I'd like to thank members for contributing in this section. So we'll now move on to agenda item number 6, is the Memorandum of Understanding partnering arrangements for the removal of snow and ice from town centre footways and pedestrian areas. So I'll hand over to yourself, Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. This is the usual or the similar Memorandum of Understanding that has previously been approved by Council. And it exists. I mean, this Memorandum of Understanding, it certainly goes back a long time in my experience. And it exists basically so that the Council would provide support to DFI Road Service for the clearance of snow and ice from footpaths at a time when the weather's that bad that we can't really carry out our own usual functions. So it's the redeployment of council staff to do that. The Memorandum of Understanding is for a 3-year period. There was a previous report brought to committee regarding this, and DFI have now provided an updated version, and have actually signed it before they've sent to us. So it's really seeking approval to allow officers to sort of sign the agreement and get it back in running for the current year. There is an error, I think, in the date. The actual start date would be the 1st of November, not the 1st of October, because that would be in line with the previous agreements.
Somebody said in the end. Sorry, is that right? And I think the gremlins are at work this evening in the system.
But clearly, I just want to finish off by saying that clearly we have no statutory obligation to clear snow and ice from footpaths. And this is a partnering agreement such that, and I can remember it being instigated in other councils, and I think the bad year was something like 2010, whenever councils went out and had to attend. The actual salt would be provided free of charge by DFI, but it would rely on us redeploying our staff, because they couldn't carry out their normal duties to help and assist DFI in this regard.
Okay, thanks very much, Andrew. I have a P and a comment from Councillor Willie Clark. Oh, Willie?
Yeah, Chair. I welcome this. Obviously, I brought notice motion in the last mandate in regards to this particular item, that the Memorandum of Understanding had run out. And when it became to activating it, there was some confusion over who would activate. Basically, contacted DFI. They said they couldn't activate it. It was up to council to activate it. Went to council. Council said they couldn't. It was DFI had to activate it. So this went on for a couple of days until the snow melted and left. I think this is a really crucial piece of work by the council, particularly in, you know, in our shopping centres and our main thoroughfares and our main towns across the district, and we've now added more to it. And as Andrew says, it is when the amenity horticulture people and that and other members of staff can't get on with their work, then they're available to do this type of work. And this is vital to the economy of our town centres. It's important that people don't become isolated. You know, it's hard enough for getting outside of the streets, but to come on to, you know, say Newcastle Promenade, for example, even, people were falling, splitting their heads on the main streets, you know, on general footpaths. People found it very slippy and couldn't navigate across them, you know. And our own car parks, Downs Road car park, your Donard Park car park, not a piece of grit in it. They were like ice skating rinks. You know, they were extremely dangerous. And I'm not sure about the liable stuff in regards to, you know, us having a facility open and it not being gritted. I think that has to be looked at. But the motion was broader as well. there was a frustration from, and I know from ourselves, there was a frustration every time we contacted the FI Roads about replenishing grit bins. It fell in deaf ears. We had to go and get salt ourselves to grit roads. I'm thinking of the likes of King Street in Newcastle, you know, down from the Intercity School and All Children's School. You've got a fold, you've other Kern type establishments in that area also. You know, you've buses going up that hill, coming down onto the main road with one grit bin. And that's fair enough. If that's the policy, it's one grit bin. But at least replenish it. You know, you can't have parents leaving their children up, buses careering down towards them. You know, same with School Hill in Dundrum. It's not my area, but the same thing. You've got a steep hill with cars sliding onto the main road. How can that be safe? You know, so we need to, if we write to the department and, you know, ask them in regards to them two areas I've asked about, Chair, but also replenishing grit bins. We don't want to make a fool out as elected reps. When people contact us, they contact us in good faith that we're going to resolve the problem. We pass it on to NI Direct link, which we're told to do by DFA, and nothing happens. You know, so we need a clear communication between the local authority and DFA Roads on what they are available, what grit they have available, and will they be replenishing priority bins in dangerous situations. And you have situations, and people think it's dead on, even in large housing estates where it's been compacted and it's pure ice. Vulnerable people can't get out. Taxis can't get in. You know, cars can't get in. This is serious consequences for the people who live in them areas. And I'm not even going to start mentioning the rural areas, you know, because the rural councillors, you know, can speak for themselves. They see it firsthand as well. People have been isolated for days, running into a week, if we get severe weather. So the activation point, I would like clarified, Chair, from the department, who is going to activate it? When is it going to be activated? You know, is it after heavy fall of snow, do we activate it then? Is it a certain temperature or whatever? You know, so that clarity I would like, but I'm happy to propose, Chair.
Thanks so much. Councillor Enright, since you're not a member of the committee, we'll bring you in at the end with your question and your comment. So the next on the list in the chat is Councillor David Taylor. Go ahead, David.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, no opposition or no concern about obviously what's contained within the partnership arrangement. Obviously, as Councillor Clark has outlined, it's making sure that what's in the paper works out in practice for all of us, and that the benefits of the partnership actually come to fruition. So hopefully the clarity can be provided in some of those issues. I'm just conscious maybe I've looked at the list, and I don't know if this can be done, but I would like it to be considered anyway. I'm obviously conscious of resources, but I would like Bessbrook and Newton Hamilton to be included in this, because I'm conscious Newton Hamilton in particular, you know, suffers, you know, from inclement weather on regular occasions during the winter, and very dangerous actually conditions in times of, you know, snowfall and heavy ice. So I would certainly think that those two areas should be given consideration to be included in that, and in the areas in particular, Newton Hamilton would be the Armagh Street, Dundalk Street and Square area, where the commercial end of things are in the village, and certainly in Bessbrook, the Fountain Street and Charlemont Square section, again where the commercial part of the village would be. I hope that can be, whilst I know looking at the obviously the paperwork that's included in that has been a signature, you know, for DFI, hopefully that can be looked at and amended to give those two areas inclusion within this partnership arrangement.
Thanks so much, Councillor Taylor. And then we have Councillor Derry Finn. Go ahead, Derry.
I suppose just if everybody is asking for other inclusions to be made, I think having looked at the lists, particularly in Newry, it would be in terms of footfall, particularly Canal Street and Canal Bank all the way on to New Street. I think in particular those areas in the wintertime, if there was to be heavy ice or snow, there's an awful lot of establishments that would be having people involving themselves in the nighttime economy and going out. And I think because there is a taxi stand there, I think that is one point that I would like to make. And in the inclusion with that, you would also as well have schools. So that would be St Joseph's, Our Ladies, and potentially students from St Coleman's who are going to be walking on the footpaths particularly around. So if we could look at getting them included, I would really appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Derry. And Councillor Enright, a question and comment. Go ahead, Cologan.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to compliment Councillor Clark on following up on this. I myself was following up on this, and if I recall correctly, going back to 2012, Councillor Clark may actually have seconded the motion I originally put on this whole area that created the Memorandum of Understanding, which came before Council then in 2013. And for some reason, after the merger in 2014, it got lost. I don't know whether how it got lost. I did ask Liam before he left where it had gone. The key point I was making back in 2012 when I first put the motion forward on this was we had the practice of sending our street sweepers home. And having worked in Germany, Russia, France, and the Low Countries, I know that the street sweepers in those countries are simply reassigned to salting pavements, whereas been our practice in Down Council. I believe Muirree Mohn and Down too, since the merger, we've been sending our street sweepers home. As part of that motion, I also suggested that we have a small number of gritters, which were very cheap. I've emailed you all tonight images of those gritters. They used to cost between £300 and £500. At the moment now, they cost just less than £1,000. And what they do is they enable street sweepers to cover large amounts of pavement very easily. When the memorandum was put together with its appendix, Chairperson, there was a very small number of streets in, like, for instance, Downpatrick, where a main thoroughfare like St. Patrick's Avenue wasn't included, because it was assumed that the street sweepers doing this job would be using shovels. And the point I made at that time was that no other country do they use shovels to distribute salt on streets. They used gritters. So I emailed you all tonight the original document I sent back in 2012, which shows at least 20 different types of gritters. They're all priced between £300 and £500, but as I say, they're about £1,000 now. And my suggestion would be that we review the small number of streets that have been highlighted, and I make a point of including any streets that are actually shopping streets or particularly dangerous streets like English Street, say, for instance, going up to the museum in Downpatrick, because the capacity of street sweepers to deliver grit using these gritting machines is enormously increased over the old practice we used to have in Down Council of using shovels, which really meant a street sweeper, when allocated a shovel and a trolley, could really only get maybe a street done in an entire day. So, as I say, Chair, I've emailed you all tonight the paper that I originally sent to councils in 2012, and I'm suggesting that we review the number of streets that are covered in this memorandum, because if we use street gritters as they do in other countries, using our street sweepers, we'll be able to cover a lot more pavement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Councillor Enright, for your contributions. And if our members happy enough that we... So go ahead, Henry. I've seen that you've seconded. I was actually going to read that into the record that... Yes, that's okay, but it's important. Please use the chat box. Thank you. Go ahead, Henry.
Yes, Chairman. One of the biggest issues in this will be public liability. And in years gone by, town centres, when the council very much wanted to use its staff to salt areas, the legal advice we had was, if you don't touch it at all and somebody falls, it's their problem. But if you salt it and miss a patch and somebody falls in the miss patch, then the council becomes liable. And there was one stage there was 27 broken femurs and hips and whatever at the post office. And they were all elderly people. This was down Hill Street in Uri. And it was just unbelievable that we couldn't actually go in there and do something. Same in Kilkeel, same in many areas. But that is an issue that we need to get absolute clarity on. the public liability issue. Who will be responsible in administering claims and whatever if they do come through? Hopefully they wouldn't. But it's a good scheme and something we should have done years ago. Councils in the Free State and in GB do it, so why can't we do it up here?
Understand. Chris Riley, thank you very much for your contributions. And since there's no further comments to be made on the agenda item is carried under proposal of Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Henry Reggie that we proceed with the recommendation that's outlined in item 3.1. So at this stage, we'll go into committee.
Chair, Councillor Taylor again. In terms of the request that I made and know that Councillor Finn had made, where do things stand with those suggested additions?
No problem. As I say, I see Councillor Clark and Councillor Taylor. It's sorted. Councillor Clark, have you anything further to add?
Chair, very briefly, thanks for letting me in. No, I think the proposals we have now, if we can get this done or completed or in these areas looked after, then we certainly can move, into the areas later. I think if we go back to DFA now we could have frost and snow, in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
We want this tied down. We're signing the memorandum of understanding. And as I think it's on drum, every councillor could pick, a village or whatever they want to see done. I think the contribution of Councillor Enright is useful in regards to, pedestrian gritters. They could be useful for community groups. And we could look at, identifying funding for community groups to have these to make their areas safer, but to work with communities in regards to that. I'm not against anybody putting in, extra villages and towns, but, at the end of the day, if we can get what we've got in this paper looked after, we'd be doing really well, because the last cold snap we had last year, there was nowhere looked after. So we can all say, I want this included, I want that included. We want this actioned and being able to do it, and then we move out and put all our areas into it. I'm not against any other council putting forward, a list that can be looked at in the future. But I would certainly want this tied down. In regards to liability, this is a memorandum understand is protecting us. We've no statutory duty to grit footpaths. And DFI have no statutory duty to grit roads, So it's the same thing. If somebody slipped on ice and driving their car, they wouldn't be liable. DFI wouldn't be liable because they don't have to do it. They don't have to intervene at all. So this is goodwill. This is trying to improve our communities, make it safer for our communities. And so I think we get on with this bit and then build up a list for additional stuff. And this is working extremely well. But in relation to Councillor Enright, in regards to, the pedestrian gritters, I think that could be looked at future in DAAs and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have another two or three councillors. If you come in, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Savage, and Councillor Tierney Kelly. So, David?
Yeah, well, Chair, I was seeking clarity and just in regard to that. And listen, I don't certainly want to hold back what's already proposed within this document, and I made that clear when I was making the suggestion of the inclusion of the other towns and villages that and I know Councillor Finn obviously has suggested some additional areas as well, but I don't want them to be forgot about, and that's what I'm always conscious about here. We get something signed and sealed and then bring it back another day, and then when the other day comes, nothing will ever be done again. So I'm conscious about that as well. I think it needs to be noted now that we would like to expand it in, because I think even looking at the list, there's no it's hard to argue that one should be included and others can't. And I know obviously there were suggestions made about at a particular time about what's included now, but I don't want a situation where it's put off for another day and then forgot about. I think particularly Newton Hamilton, Newton Hamilton suffers very, very inclement weather at times. So given where it's located and whatever, and during the winter times there's some treacherous conditions in that area, and it would certainly be very worthy of inclusion in this memorandum of understanding, as with Bessbrook. But I just don't want it to be forgot about, Chair, and that's my only concern here.
Thank you very much, and your points, David, will be taken on board as well. Councillor Savage, Michael, you have a wee question.
Yeah, well, it's a question, a bit of a comment as well, Chair. First of all, Chair, just in relation to the Kildare Street area, obviously that encompasses, I was hoping that that would encompass Canal Bank and the front of the town hall and accessibility to the Sean Hollywood at the minute. I know obviously come April time things are going to change, but we have a winter coming in front of us between now and then, and we do have quite a cram-packed arts programme with organisations wanting to get their shows in the town hall before the rebuilding of the Sean Hollywood and the new facility comes into play. So it'd be vital that those are included within that. I just want a clarity on that end, because that's a very pedestrian accessible area, and we have a lot of people from all ages going there. The other point I would want to make would be, I agree with Councillor Fargan's assessment in relation to, this is a memorandum of understanding. This is a good faith, goodwill exercise, and one that I think will be reciprocated by the public, because we've all been there when we've had heavy falls of snow and people are talking about how inaccessible the footpaths are and having to take to the roads. And in particular, elderly people, when they see the snow now in towns and villages, can't get to the post offices and everything else. So from that perspective, this is definitely welcomed. I welcome the suggestion from Councillor Enright. I think that's a game changer, potentially. But what I would ask would be that, given the fact that there have been a number of additional proposals here coming from councillors from all parts of the district, but in particular from Councillor Finn, that I would agree with in relation to what are fairly central, heavily pedestrianised areas of Newry, that we go down the route of engaging with DFI, but this becomes an evolving document, an evolving memorandum of understanding, whereby potentially after year one we look to go back to revise and renegotiate the memorandum of understanding, but base it on the fact that we do the work between now and then to see, first of all, the area that we can cover, because obviously this winter is going to test it. But if we had, you know, for example, if we're going down the normal manual route that we have, we see what it covers. We do the work and the scoping exercise in relation to bringing in the gritters, the pedestrian gritters. And if those are viable for us, that we go back and say, right, we have capacity to do X amount of ground and X amount of an area of coverage of what passed across the district. So when we go to say year two, for example, we're able to make a solid argument that we can take this on without it any additional burden to the ratepayer, other than potentially the cost of the gritters, which I think would be a very welcome investment, and one that would probably transform our towns, cities and village centres during what are heavy falls of snow. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Michael. And I know members I'll bring Tina in shortly, but I know members have raised a lot of concerns about towns and villages. And even in our own DA, Rowallan, you know, you have the likes of Crossgar, Saintfield, and, you know, others that would definitely need the same sort of service that's been envisaged for elsewhere, and maybe that could be included in the mix as well. But I'll hand over to Tierna. Go ahead, Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Would totally echo your sentiments there with Rowallan. It's quite a rural area at times. But yeah, I just wanted to echo my colleague Cadogan Enright's comments. I know he's not a member of the committee, but I just thought I'd just propose that council management do follow up on his comments regarding street sweepers using gritters in icy conditions, and that is actually followed up on with council management. But yeah, just echoing what Councillor Enright already said, and I just wanted to put that proposal forward. So thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Tierna. Do we have a seconder in the chat box, please? We don't have a proposer and seconder. Councillor Clark is opposed. Tierna, could you type into the chat your amendment, please?
Yeah, I'll try and do it as quickly as possible, Chair.
No problem. Thank you very much. Councillor Kearns has seconded. So
it is.
Yeah. Well, members here present are happy enough to add on what has been said in regard to Councillor Enright's comments. So that will be put on the list of actions as well, if members are happy with that.
Chair, happy enough to go away and evaluate the methods for clearing snow off footways. There's actually other ways of doing it as well, which might be even more efficient, which I have personal experience of. So happy enough to do that and to reflect that in the minute.
Dead on. Thank you. Are members happy? Thank you very much. And we're going to proceed at this stage into closed session items. So the following items will be taken in closed session. Items 7 to 12 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including council vote and information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So I now call for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session. Councillor McAvoy has proposed and Councillor Truesdale second. I see somebody said night night chair here, so I just have to. On a proposal, Councillor McGuinness and second. Sorry? Yes, Councillor McGuinness has proposed and seconded by Councillor Riley that we come out of committee. And we're now into, and I have to read what was agreed in committee. Read the small shift, okay? And item number 7, on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Henry Riley, it was agreed to approve the extension of the current agency agreement with the Department for Infrastructure until the 31st of March 2024 and permit additional extensions as required up to 31st of October 2024. To provide authorisation that Newry Mourne and Down District Council, as a member of the 8 Council Consortium, will equally share the burden of additional legal costs associated with Belfast City Council's defence of the writ. And item number 8, purchase of new council boat for aquatic grounds maintenance at various locations district-wide. On the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to note the contents of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusions of the business case that option 3 is chosen as the preferred option, and this will see the procurement of a suitable aquatic boat and clearance unit. Item number 9, the purchase of new tractors and cutting machinery for grounds maintenance at various locations district-wide. On the proposal of Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Truesdale, it was agreed to note the contents of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusions of the business case that option 3 is chosen as the preferred option, and this will see the procurement of effective replacement machinery. And then, on item 10, on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Reddy.
Councillor McGuinness
and Councillor, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, it was agreed to approve the business case in Appendix 1 for the continuing use of a supply framework to support the use of fuel cards across the district. And 11 and 12 were for noting. And then, as I say, I proposed those items 11 and items 12, and that was seconded by Councillor McGuinness, and that 11 and Pesarelli. And well, thank you very much. So we're now ready to committee, and we're now into for noting is agenda item number 13. So there's a we'll take them all together. There's a question and proposal. So Michael, go ahead there. You have a question and proposal. Councillor Truesdale, sorry. That's us with chat box here.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Truesdale, then the right. Michael, and then yourself.
Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay. You can work ahead.
I just want to speak to item 2.3 on 2.3 under item 13. So I'd just like to commend the pavement cleans and pressure washes in the district. It's the one thing that everybody notices and also takes time to comment on. Unfortunately, it only lasts for around a couple of weeks, especially in Newcastle in the middle of the main street, where there's a high concentration of fast food outlets and ice cream shops. So I'd just like to comment that there's a real need for much more regular cleans at a sustainable level, and not just when the pavements are at their absolute worst. I'd also like to comment on 2.5, that's under enforcement. It says in the report that the summer season was supported by the deployment of enforcement officers. And yet again, I'd just like to say that the DDC Legacy District has one and the Newry area has two. There were no additional enforcement officers, seasonal or otherwise, employed. And I've also raised the issue of council recruitment on a UK-wide, not the GetGot portal of their own website, which directs people to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. And Michael, under 13, go ahead.
Yes, Chair. It's really in relation to street cleansing in Newry. Certainly the lower end of Monaghan Street, not a million miles from here. There are quite a few fast food restaurants and restaurants, etc. Gets a lot of heavy footfall. And particularly the area where I have my own office in particular, and I walk down that length of the street, it's starting to look grubby. I think it's a while since there was a deep clean of both Monaghan Street and Hill Street. And I would ask that could be done now, so that when with leaves and that come, that they don't stick to already difficult surfaces and lead it to be very slippy. So, you know, particularly out around the bookmakers and in relation to the pubs in the area and on down into the restaurants and the fast food chains, they do get a lot of spillages on the streets. And I've noticed certainly from the tail end of the summer that that's very good. I understand the need to go to Newcastle and places like that and get them done, but unless it's been done in recent weeks, it was something I wanted to raise at this committee.
Do you want to, Andy, you want to?
No.
If everything's okay. Sinead?
Thank you, Chair. Just in relation to the deep cleansing, that's an external contract that we have in place and it's currently under review and due for re-procurement. We have acquired some equipment for power washers that we can use in-house. So pending the re-tendering of our deep cleansing contract, we can look at allocating some resources to use the in-house equipment to look at those areas that have been highlighted in Newcastle and in Newry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On agenda item number 17, Councillor Finn, Barry?
Yeah, just firstly, apologies for the record. My Teams has decided to shut down on me, so I am here, but not online. It's just in relation to the chargers that are proposed for Newry Leisure Centre, and I know it says that they'll be operational and installed by the end of 2023, but I was just wondering if there's any more detail kind of on a more specific date as to when that might be happening before the end of the year.
Thanks.
Chair, happy to come in on that. The reason they will be installed before the end of the year is they have to be, because otherwise we'll not get the funding. So it's a funding issue that's driving it. It is the contract was only signed, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And the chair obviously is also chair of the East Border Region, who were the lead partner along with Ulster University on this project. And there has been a lot of activity because there has to be to get them done before the end of the year. I would say it will literally be December. I can't say exactly in December, but to draw the funding down before the end of the year, they'll need to be up and running during the month of December. But happy to update the member as and when we have further detail. As the report says, we're actually benefiting because originally there were six councils in the consortia for the chargers. Three of those councils have pulled out. As a consequence, we're getting more chargers than we originally envisaged. So there may be an opportunity for another location, but at the moment it is Newry Leisure Centre, Down Leisure Centre, and the front of the Downshire for the public. And this is a fully funded scheme for the first number of years, and one which is to be welcomed because it will It is the fast charger, so you know you're talking 20 minutes, half an hour for people to be able to recharge their cars. And very, very thankful that other councils pulled out, because we're basically getting double what we asked for.
It's good news. Thanks very much. Are there any further questions or comments on items 13 to 19 that we're for noting? Councillor Savage has proposed, and could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Clark. Thank you very much. So that Councillor Clark called me out, but on the chat, Councillor McGuinness as well. So that brings the meeting to a close. And I think it was a very good meeting, Stephen, and a lot of discussion. So for me here in the chamber, to those present, safe home, and to the people at home, have a good evening. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you, Chair.